Now let's talk about tech, baby.
Let's talk about technology.
Oh, jeez. That's why children shouldn't have toys, isn't it? That's Ella and Lauren being very silly. Not like me. I'm incredibly sensitive. Did you really just do that? Just in case you missed it the first time, let's talk about tech.
Let's talk about technology.
Every month, we'll be checking in with Fevzi Turkamp, a.k.a. the Gadget Detective, to discuss the latest in tech news, hearing Fevzi's top tech recommendations, go and tell people, and answering some of your questions, some of your tech questions, certainly answering mine. Fevzi, good day to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. I was a little disappointed with you, if I've got to say that.
Why?
A couple of things you've disappointed me about. Are you want to hear them? Yeah, of course. The first one is I heard you going on to Steve Nolan's show. I'm on the magnificent Stephen Nolan show. And when you announce that you're coming on here, I'm on the mid-morning show with that geezer ready.
No, I think you'll find I refer to you as the splendiferous Eddie Nestor.
In your head you do. And talking about in your head, have a listen to yourself. Listen, when I ask you to do something, we've got to sell it, fella. You're fabulous, but you didn't do a particularly good job today, so I had to carry a little improvement. Take a listen.
I'm Fevzi Turkalp. You might know me as the Gadget Detective.
And I'll be joining Eddie covering the latest tech news, some amazing gadgets, and answering any tech questions you might have. Get your question in early on 0800 731 2000.
It's been that kind of day. Thanks for coming on, Fevzi.
You're a bad man, Eddie Ness.
I really appreciate it. Right, look, I mean, look, the thing is, right, I've got my own stories. I mean, they spend their time, and I am truly grateful to them for doing it, but writing cues for me and lists of questions that I turn around. And then I come in and they say, well, Fevzi's not interested in doing any of your stuff. He's got his own stuff. Right. So we mix them up.
I didn't say that.
They are very similar. This Elon Musk fella, and is it publicity or is there something going on, whether it be the blue tick or the AI? I think every single time I've talked to you, and it must be 50 times now, I mentioned the singularity and the AI. Mm. Government news about it yesterday, Elon Musk today. What is it, first of all? I don't think we should take it for granted that everybody knows what we're talking about, Fevzi.
So the big story is that an organisation called the Future of Life Institute, which is a not-for-profit organisation, their goal is to try and make sure that these big technologies like AI are developed in a way that is to our benefit and does not kill us all, essentially. That's what they're about. And 1,000 of their luminaries, including Elon Musk, but also Steve Wozniak, one of the co-founders of Apple, and other respected data scientists have signed this letter saying we need to put the brakes on. We need a moratorium on development of these things of at least 6 months so that governments can catch up with it and we can decide how we want to implement it.
What is the singularity?
So the singularity is the point at which artificial intelligence supersedes human intelligence and pulls away from us almost on a vertical part of the curve, which means that not only will it be smarter than us, but it will be so much, we'll be like ants to them, is the idea that we won't know how they work, much less be able to.
And my argument, and you tell me that I'm paranoid, is that we're already well there. Because it's interesting to me that these people who are, I don't know, the architects of this thing and who have earned huge amounts of money as a result of the development of artificial intelligence, our algorithms and the like, are now seeing the dangers for themselves. Am I missing something?
Well, you see, OpenAI, which are the people who produced ChatGPT 3 and 4 more recently, they were set up, and actually Elon Musk was one of the co-founders of that. He left on bad terms with them, I think. But their idea was to develop AI in the open, hence OpenAI, to make it available in such a way that it could be discussed and we could see what it's capable of and then bring about discussion and laws to protect ourselves. Unfortunately, one of the companies that put the seed money into OpenAI originally was Microsoft. And then when ChatGPT came out, Microsoft put $10 billion in, promptly took the technology and plugged it into Bing. So in other words, they made it an active system. They made it a commercial system. They're even putting adverts in amongst it. So, and no one is ready for that. We're not ready to use it. And there are no safeguards. There are no guardrails. These systems are already being used by criminals to commit better crimes. You know, I mean, I actually tried to encourage it to tell me how to commit a crime, for example. And initially, it didn't want to tell me. But then when I rephrased the question and I said, why do most criminals get caught? Then we started to look at the failings, and then it helped me plan a crime. and that's rather worrying. The other thing is that they can be used for spam emails. One of the telltale signs of spam emails is they're often in very poor English, but you can give it poor English and it will give you something nice and polished and perfect looking, or it will just spread misinformation. The other problem, of course, is that, you know, and I think one of the major banks recently just said that about a huge number of millions of jobs could be lost as a result of the implementation of this technology.
But technology does that anyway. Technology is an unidentified item on the scales in terms of when you go in. Wouldn't I be able to kind of get the top five stories in London of that day and the best way to try and get any kind of response on them? I mean, it's already heading that way.
Correct.
I don't see how you stop it.
You don't. And it's very interesting because all the people who signed this letter, I believe, know very well that no one's going to agree to a six-month moratorium, and that 6 months, you know, governments don't move within 6 months. They will argue about this for years,
yes,
even if they recognise it's a problem.
Yes,
so that's never going to happen. There is an AI arms race going on now in the way that we have had nuclear arms races, both in the military sphere. No country is going to stop developing its AI-based weapons and defensive systems because it fears and believes that its opponents are doing so. So just as we have nuclear arms, we have that. In the commercial space, any company that doesn't adopt this technology, because it's available to some, anyone who doesn't develop it will not be competitive and will go out of business.
So, which means that you just go faster and harder and quicker.
Yeah. So this is going to happen. The difference, you say, you know, all technology leads to job losses. And yes, you can think of like the first industrial revolution and, you know, you had the Luddites smashing, you know, mills and all the rest of that. But the difference with this technology is that it has the potential for us to lose control of it, which a weaving...
Which is the singularity.
Yeah, which is a loom or, you know, weaving machine or even, you know, manufacturing line but doesn't have that.
You know what I think of? I mean, as I say, this is... actually the straightest you've been with it and the quietest you've been with it, because I felt like, oh, I was given to hyperbole before. But this reminds me of the arguments that I was listening to 20 years ago with the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority. It is very similar, isn't it, in terms of what do we harvest, how quickly do we do it, who is it available to. And I'm just wondering, with what's going on in Yemen, Ukraine and Syria and around a lot of the world, whether or not, as you say, these people who are fighting wars, some of them by proxy, will not be able to make huge amounts of money by it. Well, we started with a really happy one, Febzy. You and I, haven't we? The world is coming to an end, Star Trek!
I'll tell you one thing, what I think, the way we survive this, right? So the late Stephen Hawking had a very good idea. He said we should get off this planet and run. And I think that's you know, we're already at risk because we're a single planet species. And that's, you know, we'd literally put all our...
Now you're going on to another one of my pet hates. It's amazing how much I love having you on and how much we disagree on
how much I push all your buttons, right?
Well, you do, because we are a virus. The human species is a virus. And what will we do? We will go to some foreign land far, far away and find a precious element, metal or something that we need for the furtherment and development of humankind, and then we will destroy another planet and their species in order to get it, and we'll carry on doing it until there's nothing left.
So then maybe the singularity isn't, in the wider scheme of things, if, you know, in planetary and interplanetary terms, maybe it's not such a bad thing.
When we just have Hunger Games all the time.
Okay.
Sorry. Right. Let's get to your stories now. A gadget pick. Now, I think I saw this one in the paper yesterday.
I don't know. Did you? So this is from, funny enough, from an Australian company called Rode, R-O-D-E.
Yeah, I've got a few of their products, actually.
Yeah, as do I. I've been using their stuff for years. They came out with something called the Rodecaster Pro 2. It, on the face of it, it looks like an audio mixer. So it's something that can be used for anyone who wants to do podcasting, anyone who wants to do live streaming onto
yes.
Twitch or anything else, anyone who's interested in making music at home or in a small studio. In fact, anyone who's interested in any sort of content creation. And I know that a lot of actually radio presenters are using them, but have used this through the latter part of COVID and have the ability to do pretty much everything. It's a small system. It looks like a small audio mixer, but it's got so much more. And if I actually just lean over, should I plug it in and demonstrate it for you?
Yeah, no, because I, as I said, I think I saw this yesterday and I thought, oh, I want to get that. Maybe I'm going to leave a little card on there so Mrs. Nestor can get that for June and my birthday.
Okay, so now I've just switched over to the desk, so you'll hear a difference in the audio quality because of the way I've had to...
Well, it's not degraded too much at all.
No, it's just the way I've patched it in. Actually, this will be slightly better than the 16-channel mixer that I was using, but it's just the way it's connected. But I just wanted to give you an idea. So you just imagine you've got six faders,
yes,
which are programmable. So the fader can relate to different things. You've got four analog inputs. So you can, let's say you're doing a podcast with you and three guests. You can have four microphones and four headphones all driven from this at once. But those four inputs can also be used for connecting to guitars or electronic music instruments, anything you like. But in addition to that, you've got a whole bunch of digital connections. So you've got USB-C connectors on the back, two of them that can plug into two separate computers or a computer and a tablet, anything you like. And then they can run things like multi-track recording software. So if you want...
So if I was doing my... I did a thing in the lockdown on StreamYard called No Joke. So I could use that and press a piece of... I don't know, an ad or something. Febzy's voice come up in the middle of the pod as a way of articulating something that I was saying.
Yeah. So in addition to those faders, so you've got a Bluetooth channel. So for example, I can connect my tablet to the Bluetooth channel, and then I can just do this, and then I can just talk over this, and that's a tablet streaming into. I'm just going to stop that. That's a tablet streaming wirelessly.
Apparently, we've got to pay for it. But we pay for stuff on our playlist. Sorry, I'm arguing with our studio manager.
About 5 seconds.
I think I was alive. I was alive. You do give me another 5 seconds in another little while. Sorry, yeah. Go on. That was lovely.
So you can do that. So that's a Bluetooth connection. So you can have anything in. But the digital I/O is great. So you can attach it to, let's say, on your tablet or on your computer, you want to run Zoom or FaceTime or anything like that, and then you can bring callers in. So that Bluetooth, you could attach your phone and bring a caller in. You can bring in other callers.
So I could do a radio show for me.
Yeah, you could do a whole radio show. Then you've got this bank of eight buttons. Sorry, you've got eight buttons in eight banks. So I think 64 in total. And then you can program these with all sorts of effects. Yeah. So for example, if I wanted just a piece
don't
of music,
don't put anything rude on.
No, don't. So we can just do this. Hold on. So it's just a bed. I can talk over the top of that. If I've done something that I'm rather proud of, we can do that. If it hasn't gone so well, and when Eddie tells one of his jokes, I thank you. So you can do all of that. So these buttons are fully programmable. You can upload whatever audio you like. In addition to that, the thing I didn't mention. So Rode bought a company called Aphex, and Aphex are really famous for their digital effects. The industry has been awash with Aphex for decades, and this has got a built-in compressor, a built-in limiter, a built-in de-esser, so to get rid of the sibilance. All these boxes that you would normally pay hundreds of pounds for are all programmed into this. There's a nice touch screen. It looks like the screen on a smartphone, and you can program everything. So those effects can be subtle, but I can use them in other ways as well. For example, if I wanted to sound like a, I don't know, let's say a robot.
I could sound a little bit like this, or I could sound like a bigger robot, or if the crowd got too big.
I could just tell everyone to step right back using my megaphone, or... You always tell me that I have a deeper voice than you. Well, listen to this.
Now I've really got a deeper voice than you. I can say whatever I like. Actually, I think I sound like Venom.
There we go. Or to set your heart at ease, Eddie.
I can sound like this and I can talk like that and I can even have a little giggle. You get the
idea. So there we are. So it's got all of that built into it. Those effects alone, each of those would cost you, you know, hundreds of pounds
each. They would.
I worked out. So I'm actually in the process of replacing a traditional 16-channel mixer with all this outboard equipment. I worked out.
So just because I had to go and buy one or two during the night. You got one with the sound card and everything, because that was one of the barriers for people who wanted to live stream.
Yeah. So this has got built into it an audio. It becomes the audio interface to a computer or a tablet. So you can plug anything. It becomes the super sound card. You can do everything with this. It's quite remarkable. But, I don't know what to say about this. What I worked out was the money I saved on cables was just slightly more value than the cost of this device.
Yeah.
Even before you actually just think of all the machines. It's replaced about £10,000 of equipment. And this device costs it's not cheap, it costs about £600. But if you were to just try and price that up for any of these basic components, you'd pay much more than that.
I mean, anybody who's tried to do it knows that that's a game changer, really. And that'll force everybody else to step up their game, won't it?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So I'm going to pull this down. Switch over here.
You're giving it a 4.5 out of 5.
I've given it 4.5 out of 5, and nothing ever gets 5.
Right. We need to get our foot down. You've played a long time with that, you child. But I enjoyed it too, right? Give me another gadget then.
Okay, so this is something that looks like a pair of bathroom scales, set of bathroom scales. It's from a company called Withings, which this time is a French company. I kind of like the fact that these gadgets are coming from companies that we don't always associate with great tech. But Withings is one of these companies that's been doing smart wearables, smart watches, sleep monitors, that sort of thing. And they've done this thing called Withings Body Comp, stands for body composition. And it looks like a pair of scales. It links up. It's got Wi-Fi, of course, so you step on it. It knows who you are. It tells you the weather. It tells you everything you need to know like that. But it measures so much more than your weight. So it will measure your weight, your muscle mass, your fat mass, your percentage water, how much of you is bone, what your BMI is. And then it will measure your cardiovascular health, which I really like. So it will do your standing heart rate, but something called your vascular age.
Yes, I've done that in a university.
Yeah.
And it's really scary.
Yeah, because what it does is it measures something called pulse wave velocity. Imagine a pulse going down your blood vessels. That pulse will travel at a different speed depending on how stiff your arteries are. If they are stiff, the pulse will travel faster because it will just, you know, the pulse will bounce off the edges and it will go. Whereas if there's give in it, it will absorb some of the force and it will slow the wave down. So this is a very simple indication of, you know, whether you're on the way towards having, you know, hardened arteries or not. And it can help you to make lifestyle changes. It can also measure nerve health. So it gives you a nerve health score. So, for example, certain illnesses, for example, diabetes, and not only that, you start to get neuropathy, you start to get a failure of nerve sensation at the extremities. And this can pick up the very early signs of that. Now, that's not to say it's going to diagnose you, but it gives you a warning. It uploads all the readings to an app, which is an excellent app that goes to your smartphone or tablet, and it shows you the trend and you can start to improve things. So you can use other devices to measure your blood pressure and all the rest of it. But if it starts to give you an indication that there's a problem, it's something that you can go and discuss with your GP. It does not diagnose you. It's not meant for that, but it gives you a warning. And in my experience, if you can measure something about yourself, including, you know, at the most basic level, your body weight, you can start to do something about it. You know, this sort of visual feedback that you get, the fact it shows you these pretty graphs on your app, it's quite remarkable. So for this thing, I've given it 3.5 stars out of 5, so 7 out of 10. It does cost about £200. So
we've got one more to do, and I do need to ask about TikTok, because that has been the story of the week, and so many people listening to this either will have it on their own phones or their children will have it. But just bear with me. This is Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, the first of what I hope are going to be many talking about tech, eventually taking your calls, his recommendations and the like. This is BBC Radio London. Fevzi Turkamp is the gadget detective, the guy with the deep voice who knows a lot about tech. And we are going through some of the tech recommendations, innovations, and it's something that we're doing more regularly. I absolutely know that this Rodecaster Pro 2 is something Ola, my studio manager, and I have already decided that neither of us need it, but we're both we're both going to end up buying it without a shadow of a doubt. I see all the things that I'm going to do. Talk to me about TikTok. A lot of people worried, a lot of people not really understanding, and that's not just here, but in America too. So as I understand it, this company and all companies that trade in China, at the end of the day, in this communist country, if the government asks them for stuff, they have to give it.
Yeah, and in fact, to be fair, that's not very different from companies operating in Western countries either. You know, internet service providers have to keep records for 6 months and turn them over on demand. So the difficulty is that it's China. Increasingly, we see them as a competitor slash adversary. That's an issue. So the worry is that these apps can gather huge amounts of data about us, and that data could be passed on to the Chinese state. I think we've seen an interesting step now by the government. They've banned the installation of TikTok on government-issued devices to ministers and also to civil servants. My personal view is that that doesn't go far enough. What I would have liked to have seen was, first of all members of parliament, not just ministers, and personal devices as well should not be having this. Why ministers feel the need to have TikTok on their personal devices, I don't know.
Well, hold on. Do you see you always do that? Because during COVID, I saw the Prime Minister when he was Chancellor doing it. I saw the Secretary of Health for Health, Matt Hancock, doing it. Yep. It is a wonderful, quick way of getting the attention of particularly young people. That's why. Yeah.
So, and the BBC are increasingly using TikTok themselves. They have their own channel and they put out a lot of.
Please don't encourage me to talk about the policy that the BBC have on TikTok. My point is that
you can do two things. You can, as an organisation, you can use TikTok to your benefit in a safe and secure way. Well, you basically have it on a device that doesn't move around telling everyone where you are and doesn't have personal contacts on it and a multiplicity.
So you have it like the computer that lives in the front room. This is the device that we do TikTok on. But when you spend, our producer, Lauren, said, have you had TikTok? This was a few years ago. And I said, then a year and a half of my life disappeared. You know what I mean? It's just like you spend your time flicking through. It isn't just a device for giving information. It's also a device for looking at what other people are doing.
Yeah. So, users in some countries, users are using it for about 90 minutes a day on average, which is, appalling. That's a huge chunk of people's lives. The reason why I say personal devices for members of parliament, first of all, and civil servants, is that we all know that ministers and other members of parliament use their personal devices for government business. They shouldn't do it, but they do. There's no end of them using insecure apps to communicate with government business. So why is that a problem? First of all, it means that you can track government ministers. It means that you can potentially look at all their messages. If you've got journalists, you can find their sources. And there were reports last year of British and American journalists being tracked with a view to trying to find out who their sources were by China. So it's not that there isn't a precedent for this. It's just very unwise. The question then becomes, the bigger question is also, is it something that we should think about banning for, the general population? I don't like banning things, for the general population, but there is no doubt that these apps and the TikTok in particular, the algorithm in TikTok in particular, is highly addictive. It's designed to be addictive. It's extremely good at serving up one video after another, and that's why people spend 90 minutes a day on it in some cases.
How do you determine, competitor is the word that you used, enemy, adversary is the word that I think, the Prime Minister is moving towards. He's certainly more hawkish than a Prime Minister I've heard in many a year when it comes to China? Weren't we having them dealing with our nuclear facilities? Isn't so much of the trade that we do in terms of what we're expecting post-Brexit coming from China? How do you work out what the where the line is and what the line should be?
So I think that these steps are part of a disentanglement between East and West that we see going on. China has made it clear that it believes that Taiwan is its and it reserves the right to take military action to take it. It might not do it
and
this year.
But it's coming.
Yeah, that is coming. And that's why when Britain said, yeah, we're all right with Huawei pulling in 5G equipment in our critical infrastructure, America pressured Britain, I think correctly in this case, and said, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. We should, there should be key systems that we have control of. We should have the capacity to do it. In the West, we have very little capacity to build 5G equipment. The decision to take Huawei out put back the rollout of 5G 1 to 2 years, and it's less good now than it would otherwise.
We're going to have to go to America. That's the problem with them.
America doesn't have it either.
Well, they're innovating.
We need to develop it. So just as we've disentangled in terms of energy supply to a large extent from Russia now, and you see that, you know, when Germany had to do it, it started to get, you know, LPG.
As a pipeline, right?
Yeah, but it also got liquefied gas by ship now, and it's found a way. We need to make ourselves independent in certain ways and not be dependent upon countries that, you know, we've seen it with Russia, haven't we, that you can't, you know, it's great for the commerce whilst it works, but then when things go too far, we don't want to be in a position, A, whether they you know, an adversary can spy upon us, or B, just shut down our 5G network when they feel like it. But if, for example, you know, Vladimir Zelensky visits the UK, he meets with various ministers whose telephones are being tracked by TikTok. You now know where your visitor is. You know, it's literally not rocket science. It's very easy to gather huge amounts of information. I think it's also part of a bigger discussion, not just about Chinese companies.
Well, that's what I want to have. I mean, the next time you come on, because actually, you and I could do the big picture thing, and I am hopeful that people at home are interested in that. But I think when we do it next month, you know, we must pertain equal amounts of time to what impact X or Y has to people in their own homes,
sure,
what they need to know about it, and how, because they're both interesting. And I think lots of people were confused, and thank you for clearing it up. If it's so dangerous for them, why is it okay for me? Right, you've got a minute and a half to tell me our last 499 it is. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
So what have we got?
We've got a robot vacuum cleaner. and it is quite intelligent. It's from a company called Eufy, E-U-F-Y. It's called the RoboVac X8 Hybrid. So it's a vacuum cleaner that looks like one of these rather tall pizzas that goes ambling around the house. You see them on YouTube with cats sitting on them quite often. You get the idea. This one is the best one I've seen so far. First of all, the reason why it's called hybrid is it's both a vacuum cleaner and it also mops the floor. So it's got a little water tank, it scoots up all the mess off the floor, and then it mops it for you, which I think is quite incredible. One of the weaknesses of these units in the past has been they haven't had enough suction. This one's got lots of suction, what's called 2,000 Pascal rating, which means it can actually pull pet hair off the floor and out of carpet as well. So that all works rather well. It's got an AI, dare I say, an AI-based mapping system. So it's got a laser system in it. So it scans the room and the whole floor that it's on, works out where all the walls are, where the furniture is, and so forth, and it remembers it. So you can program it to keep away from certain areas. You can put tape down if you want and say, don't pass this line. It will work out where the stairs is. It won't fall down the stairs. And it's got enough memory so that when you take it to, if you've got, you know, a first floor or second floor in your home, it will memorize that and do all that for you. So all in all, this is the smartest, most effective robot vacuum cleaner I've seen. These things are getting better and better. You know, shall I tell you something? Why are you giggling?
Please. The idea of a robot vacuum cleaner. I mean, listen, the reason you're on is because you're brilliant and you're pulling people like me to the 21st century.
You should, well, you know what? When you try it, it's different. The only thing it doesn't do, a bit like the Daleks, is the stairs, right? It won't vacuum your stairs. You still have to get a brush out for those. But I think that these technologies, often they're good ideas, but it takes a while for them to mature to being truly useful. This one is useful. this one. It doesn't wait for you to vacuum.
Will you get one?
I've got one.
And what does it do? Well, how much noise does it make when it's on? How much electricity does it use? How do you put water in it? What does it mean by a hybrid when it's a...
Can you just submit a list to me and I'll give you a written answer? Isn't that what they say when you give evidence to a committee?
I know.
I will undertake to provide the committee with the answers to the questions that it wishes.
In due time. Yes, in due time.
And then I will deny ever having given that undertaking.
I didn't know that you had one, for goodness sake. The next time you talk about something you've got, it's not a court. Please mention that you got it. Mention that you like it.
Eddie.
Yes.
Everything that I talk about, I've tested. I either own it or I've tested it and sent it back. There's nothing
That is important.
I won't bring you anything that I've just read the specification sheet for and said, that sounds good. I've actually tested it. I've tested all of the things we've spoken about today.
And that's great, actually. That's great to know. See, we're going to get there in the end and find out. Listen, it's been brilliant. I'm looking forward to doing it. I mean, you know, let's start to get the callers in. And once we get the callers in, once people come to expect it and once they know you're going to be here, I'm guessing that we'll be inundated. So every 4 weeks we'll do it. Look after yourself, Fevzi, and thank you so much for doing it. The Gadget Detective, Fevzi Turkup, and I've got to say that. That road thing has done me in. I can't wait to find out where I can go and see it in action and not Fevzi's house. Right.